It's Dictionary of Sydney time, my favourite segment of the week, and it's my last time doing it, which is incredibly sad. Dr. Lisa Murray joins me in the studio from the dictionary. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, and I'm very glad to be here on your last Wednesday.
Oh, thank you. It's been such a fantastic segment, and it will keep going, of course. This is my last time doing it, but I'm a bit of a history nerd. We've all learnt that over the last couple of years, but I just love learning about this great big city and the so many different sort of stories and characters that make it up, and it's absolutely incredible.
I know, it's really surprising, and it's amazing how they all manage to kind of connect together through it in the Dictionary of Sydney, which is one of the great things of having an online kind of resource.
Yeah, absolutely.
The way we can do those sort of 6 degrees of separation kind of stories.
And you've gone for this week, my last week, something very close to my heart, the pub, a pub-related sort of story.
Yeah. So back in February, we chatted about the Liverpool Soldiers Riot in 1916, which was when the riot, you know, it started as a protest against camp conditions amongst the recruited AIF, and caught the military and many sort of Sydney officials by surprise. And this boozy rampage was actually picked up by the temperance movement, and they used it to serve their cause. So they started saying that this sort of behaviour, which they called Black Monday, was condemned as being unpatriotic and made New South Wales the shame of Australia. And so the temperance movement started to demand the closing of all bars until the war was over. This is the First World War.
Mm.
So a lot of pressure was put on the state government, and they agreed to put to the people of Sydney and New South Wales a referendum. And the question was the closing hour of pubs in New South Wales. Now, this referendum was scheduled for the 10th of June 1916. It was called at the time the liquor referendum, and later many people referred to it as the early closing referendum. So people may have heard of it before. But, I mean, it's interesting. So in 1916, before the referendum, pubs actually, like, the sale of alcohol was quite liberal. Many pubs opened at 6 a.m. in the morning.
6 a.m.?
And they stayed open for about 17 hours and closed at 11 o'clock at night.
Okay.
So it's pretty wide. Now, the referendum was asking voters if they wanted to what time pubs to close between 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. So they could vote for like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Mm-hmm.
But campaigning was really fierce, and it kind of divided into two main camps. One was led by the temperance movement, 6 o'clock, and the other was the close of pubs at 9 o'clock.
Six or nine, okay.
Six or nine. And pubs were kind of going for this moderate, we recognise the war is an important thing. Let's be good, and we'll close at nine. So still trying to keep that sort of evening thing happening. And many of them had banners on their hotels and things sort of urging the vote for 9 o'clock. The temperance movement, the 6 o'clockers, really, they really rallied at all the town halls, went to lots of churches, handing out lots of flyers. They had Sydney Morning Herald was right behind them as well. Yeah, so and by early May, this whole referendum question was really about how patriotic were you? You know, if we're patriotic, pubs should close at six. So 4 months after this riot that happened, the referendum took place, and basically the majority of New South Wales citizens voted for 6 o'clock closing. Interesting, when you break it down actually into sort of areas, a lot of the inner city actually voted more for 9 o'clock or keeping them the same at 11 o'clock. And it was more suburban areas that often said that that it should be 6 o'clock.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, it shows the different demographics and things. And interestingly, you know, it was in the inner city where sort of there's, as it is today, clustering of pubs around the place.
Mm.
But anyway, so it was made 6 o'clock during the war that it was, they said, we'll review it at the end of the war. At the end of the war, they decided, this is great. We're going to make it permanent. So they passed it and made it permanent after the First World War, and that legislation stayed in place until 1955 in New South Wales.
1955, so now, 30-odd years.
Yeah, and similar legislation was brought into Victoria, and later in the same year, and it wasn't removed until 1966. So they were stuck with it for over 50 years. We had it for about 40 or so. And so anyway, this changing of the legislation and about, you know, when liquor could be sold and when pubs could be open had a dramatic effect on Sydney's life and also on the design of pubs. So pubs used to be this really important part of the social cultural life of the city. And, you know, to some extent in the inner city areas, there was a pub on every corner.
Mm.
And they had a really important role in fostering sort of meeting places. So social clubs and sporting clubs and things would meet there. They'd have their kind of committee meetings there. They used to have, you know, little dining rooms out the back. They used to have little areas called snugs as well.
Snugs?
So, yeah, so which is very English and Irish thing. So little small areas where only like three or four people might sit. And so, you know, they had these quite intimate spaces around the place. And they also used to have a lot of other entertainment. So things like billiard tables, dart boards, quoits, skittles, all of these things used to be part of the pub scene or the hotel scene. And basically with 6 o'clock closing, these spaces and these activities started to disappear because there wasn't really the time to do it in the evening anymore. And it was replaced by a lot of men coming to the pub straight after work to drink before they went home and before the pubs closed at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so brewers and pub owners took this opportunity to really modernise the pubs, introducing this slick new look. So a lot of the Art Deco pubs and whatever we find around are really kind of brought on. I mean, some of them needed, I suppose, modernising anyway.
Mm.
But it was really driven by this response to 6 o'clock closing. And so they sort of opened up into larger spaces, walls were knocked out, the serving area of the bar was extended to cope with this influx of male drinkers after work. And the interiors were often lined with lovely tiles, which were easier actually to hose down after the frenetic pace of what became the 6 o'clock swill.
Ah, yes.
And so this transformation of hotels from being the social centre of the local community to really this bastion of hard drinking men. And it really changed the whole culture of public drinking in Australia. And this occurred not only in New South Wales but in Victoria and also to some extent in South Australia, I think. And it really came to dominate, in a way, Australian drinking culture as a whole,
which meant
was that public drinking became associated with this sort of overtly masculine style of social engagement. It was hard, fast, loud, competitive, and also gender exclusive. Whereas before, they might pubs were seen kind of as this domestic space where you could sort of meet your friends, meet your neighbours, have a chat, the community could
social
have meetings.
Thing.
It's a social thing. It became very much a quick, after-work, hard, masculine thing, and it really drove women, even though there are a lot of women involved in hotel keeping and having hotel licences, they were kind of pushed away and it became this masculine thing. And that's something that still, even though we have later closing now, that public culture of drinking is still, I think, the issue that drives a lot of the legislation that we're dealing with today.
Yeah, absolutely. Lockout laws is the premier example of that.
So. Exactly. All back to 1916, really.
There you go. So 100 years ago.
100 years ago.
Fascinating stuff, as always. It's been such a blast having you in every week with Nicole Carmer as well, Dr. Lisa Murray. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mitch. It's been great.
And may the dictionary continue to get bigger and stronger and better than ever.
Oh, yes. Can I very, very quickly say?
Of course.
Because the Dictionary of Sydney has been going for a number of years and we're transitioning over to a new home with the State Library of New South Wales, and we're actually running a donation drive at the moment to continue on putting new entries in and things like that. So if you do love the dictionary, put your money where your mouth is and we'd love to receive a donation from you.
Yeah, keep the great resource Dictionary of Sydney going. I will put a link to that on the podcast of this chat. Dr. Lisa Murray, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mitch.
We'll catch you real soon.
See you later.